Welcome back to episode number 560 of Trigger. This is Corey and Gamort. I'm here with Matt Vespa. What's up, Vespa?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Everything's good. Everything's good. Everything's crazy. Lots of news is every week.
It picked up. It was a little slow.
Yeah, hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend. Yes. Honor those who've fallen.
Remember why we have that day off.
Yes.
Don't be like Kamala Harris. Enjoy the long weekend.
Yeah, could you? I was reminded of that in a tweet this weekend. What a difference 4 years makes, huh?
Yeah.
Enjoy the long weekend. No mention of our troops who died in service or anything like that. But thank God that's a nightmare that's over with.
It's done.
But it has been a busy week. We got Cash Patel and Dan Bongino. They were on Bret Baier and Fox and Friends, respectively, this morning. We got some news about the tariffs. We got these judges trying to import their own policies onto the presidency, powers that arguably they don't have. We got updates on the auto pen investigation and so much more. And let's jump right into it. So,
total circus. It's a circus.
It's a circus. It's funny. Monday was like kind of quiet. I'm like, what are we going to cover this week? I hope some news breaks.
Exactly.
And we never actually have to worry about that because in this administration, every day is a firestorm. So, former FBI disgraced. FBI Director James fucking Comey was on the Wolf Blitzer last night, and he has some crazy things to say. Remember, he did the whole 86-47. He was just randomly strolling on the beach with his wife, and he came across it, and he told his wife was the one. He passed blame. What a womanizer, by the way. He passed blame on his wife, saying, she is the one who asked me to post it. What grown adult, how old is James Comey? He's probably like 60 years old.
I don't know.
I gotta put this on my Instagram.
Yeah, I just had to do it.
And that alone is fucking bizarre.
I was just a grandpa in my sweaters, you know. I just was walking on the beach and, you know, all these shells. I still think it's actually a pretty... I think he even said, like, I think it's a decent political... I was expressing a political view.
Bullshit. He knows exactly what it means.
Yeah.
But he's on doing some...
now he's doing interviews left and right.
Yeah, because he... I mean, it's all probably his plan. He's selling another book right now. So let me post something provocative. And then, I'll get all these interviews to talk about it and promote it. So
I found these shells.
The shell tour. I'm on my I found this shell tour. Yeah. So here he is with Wolf Blitzer last night, ripping into Dan Bongino, first of all, and then Cash Patel. And the nerve that this guy has to rip into people with actual integrity, Cash Patel and Dan Bongino.
Yeah. Something supported by a lot of conservatives out there. What do you make of this?
It's a little confusing to me, honestly. I'm sure it's a huge adjustment to go from being a podcaster to being the deputy director of the FBI.
Oh, what a fucking piece of shit.
First of all, that's bullshit. He's talking about Dan Bongino, a very highly successful podcast.
He's protected the president.
Yeah, he was a Secret Service agent for over 10 years. I think it was 14 years he was a Secret Service agent before he was a podcast host. And before that, he was a New York City police officer.
Yeah.
Okay, he's got some experience with this. So shut up, James Comey. But also, go on. Let's hear what else you have stupid you have to say.
But I don't understand this tweet. First of all, I assume that the investigation of the pipe bomb that was found on January 6th was never closed. The FBI never closes such a thing. So.
Yeah, certainly no urgency, though. How many years later we've heard absolutely nothing? It's because of some leftist. That's why they know I was carrying the pipe bombers.
Or it's one of them.
Exactly.
Or it's a Fed.
Exactly.
That's my tinfoil hat.
I guess it means they're going to focus on it more. And as to the other things, I thought the Supreme Court Marshall had investigated the leak of the opinion, the draft opinion. I don't know what the FBI's role is there. Cocaine at the White House, I thought the Secret Service investigated that, so I don't follow it.
First of all, that's BS, and I just want to add a little bit of material here. I saw Susan Crabtree on a podcast this morning. She's one of the best reporters on Secret Service issues. She's got all sorts of sources inside and out, and she said that she's going to have an update within the next 24 to 48 hours. Apparently, this cocaine that they found at the White House, remember, it was in some locker, and they had no idea whose it was. according to FOIA documents from Judicial Watch, this bag of cocaine was first originally found in a hallway in the West Wing. It was found in a hallway, and they moved it to a locker. So that is that's manipulating evidence right there. People were involved in this. They knew exactly what they were doing, so they put it to a locker so that maybe it could...
because it was Hunter Biden's.
We all know that. We all know that. But putting it in a locker that many more people have access to, that kind of opens the investigation to so many more people, and then, therefore, we can never get to the bottom of it. Yeah. So I look forward to hearing more about that.
It's just that's just not acceptable. This is the most secure office residence in the world. Someone drops cocaine everywhere, and no one knows who the fuck it belongs to.
Bullshit. It's absolutely bullshit.
Like, you gotta be kidding me. Yeah. There's cameras all up on that shit. Yeah. Like, we don't know. Well, it's probably because it's Hunter Biden ripping some lines.
Well, the Secret Service director at the time, remember, was Kim Cheadle. And who picked Kim Cheadle personally to become the Secret Service director?
It was Lady Macbeth, right?
It was Lady Macbeth, a.k.a. Jill, Dr. Jill Biden. Maybe she had someone to protect in that West Wing. I think that may be the case. And Cash Patel and Dan Bongino has more on that information. They're reopening that investigation of the cocaine. No, it's not a closed deal.
I don't understand it. I also don't understand who the audience is for this tweet. The FBI often calls for...
He just mocked all of you, by the way.
Yeah,
who the hell cares?
Yeah.
Well, why would anyone care? He's mocking you. That's disgraced former FBI Director James Comey.
Public assistance or in matters of great public concern will announce an investigation to reassure the public. This seems much more narrowly targeted, maybe to a former podcast audience.
He is such
slime.
It's a whiny little
condescending
bitch.
Little bitch.
Oh my God.
To an exchange the new FBI Director Cash Patel had with Democratic Senator Patty Murray during a recent congressional hearing. Listen to this.
Director Patel, where is the FY 2026 budget request for the FBI?
It's being worked on, ma'am.
Have you reviewed it? Have you approved it?
Not yet.
When will we get it?
As soon as I can get it from my interagency partners and get it approved.
That is insufficient and deeply disturbing. No response?
I've given my response.
Nice.
Nah.
Are you concerned that the FBI will still be able to fulfill all of its important duties with Director Cash Patel leading the Bureau?
I hope so. That I cringe at that clip. I actually feel kind of sorry for the guy. It's like showing up for a final exam with no pencils and no paper, and you didn't even know there was a final exam. And so I hope the career people are able to support the director and the deputy director. There are lots of people in the FBI who know what they're doing. I hope these two guys are letting them guide them.
The career people? You mean the Democratic operatives who led the Russian collusion hoax, who targeted J6 defendants, who targeted pro-life people, who targeted basically anybody who was against the Biden administration. So the career people can go fuck themselves. I don't give a shit that Patty Murray finds that unacceptable.
Exactly. Yeah,
I don't care.
I don't care either.
I don't give a flying fuck. This guy is just, honestly, he just should have. It makes me angry because I'm pretty sure he was enjoying retirement life. Who isn't? After him being in the spotlight, just walk on the damn beach and just shut the fuck up. Now he's back out there. He's pissed us off. You know that, honestly, the whole, like, I don't know what, you know, the FBI doesn't do that type of stuff regarding, you know, targeted audience, you know, social media postings. My man, you pissed off Democrats when you reopened the Hillary Clinton email server in the waning days of the 2016 election. So you're just pissing off everybody.
Yep.
Even Democrats know that you're full of shit.
Yeah.
So let's just put that part in there.
Yeah. And
go away.
And to really stress what he said, he wants the career officials in the FBI to undermine the duly elected president, all of the millions of voters who voted for Donald Trump and that got him elected. He wants career officials to take this over. That is just completely unacceptable.
Yeah. And now you have, you know, fucking Wolf Blitzer being like, well, can the FBI continue their political persecutions of conservatives? Yeah. Is that even possible?
It's totally unacceptable. Yeah, so Cash Patel, he was on with Brett Baer last night. He had some thoughts on James disgraced Comey.
That's James Comey.
If he wants to come after me, no problem. I've been living rent-free in that guy's head for years, and that's just a bonus. Do you know how many copycats we've had to investigate as a result of that beachside venture from the former director?
Is that right?
Do you know how many agents I've had to take offline from chasing down child sex predators, fentanyl traffickers, terrorists, because everywhere across this country, people are popping up on social media and think that a threat to the life of the president of the United States is a joke and they can do it because he did it? That's what I'm having to deal with every single day.
Pretty powerful.
Yeah.
James Comey laughs it off. It was just a joke he posted, you know, with his wife's urging. No, actually, their real lives in danger because you have to investigate every single copycat 8647 threat, and that takes away resources from actual threats of, you know, child trafficking, rape, all this kind of stuff. and Cash Patel's not having it. So I'm happy he's there. Dan Bongino was also on Fox and Friends this morning. He has more to say about James Comey and all the investigations that they're working on right now.
I got to tell you, of all the things that have surprised me in the close to now 3 months I've been here is the depravity of Jim Comey. This man is a disgrace to the badge.
I do miss his podcast and radio show. I will say, he tells it like it is. People are growing a little bit impatient with Dan Bongino, and I'm seeing a lot of hate on Twitter and online. Trust the man. Give him some patience. He's only been in the job, what, 3 months now, 4 months now?
Yeah, he doesn't have institutional control yet.
No, he does not. He does not. And as James Comey is saying, there are still career officials who are trying to undermine this operation. So he go on, Dan Bongino.
The guy in the country, what he's doing right now, one, going out and taking shots at Cash. Cash doesn't belong. Cash was the chief of staff at the Department of Cash. Is a patriot. Cash has served in numerous high level roles, taking personal shots while you're on the beach, implying a threat towards the president and blaming your wife about it. And let me just add about James Comey, you know, Saint Comey, who walks around there moralizing to everyone how wonderful of a human being he is. What you said is absolutely accurate. We have wasted countless man hours now running out tips to our tip line about people putting 8647 because of Jim Comey, because he cannot control himself and his emotions. He is a child. He is a big child. And let me tell you one more thing. Jim Comey, we want you to believe. Jim Comey taking a shot at the president. Oh, look at me. I'm such a victim. The president's going after me. He's making a ton of money on this book. The only person that got prosecuted was the president. Jim Comey, we're finding stuff even now. Wait till you read the stuff that's coming out.
I can't wait.
Wait till you see what's coming out. Should we continue? Let's go.
Does he still have loyalists in the building? Because when I hear the FBI director saying, you guys are finding boxes that are hidden. Okay, how does that happen in the Bureau?
Well, we were there a couple of weeks, and luckily there were a lot of people up there who grabbed us by the arm the minute we came in and said, thank you for being here. You know, we need to talk. There are people there who are really horrified at what happened. And there was a room, and we found stuff, a lot of stuff.
A hidden room.
I wouldn't call it hidden, but hidden from us at least, and not mentioned to us. And then we found stuff in there, and a lot of it's from the Comey era, and we are working our damnedest right now to declassify. And just so you know, because I get the public, I totally understand people saying, well, do it now. The process is not all the information is ours to declassify.
All right, so he's working on it. I do trust him. Later in that interview, he also said, you know, one of the big things that a lot of us are frustrated with is what happened to Epstein? Did he actually kill himself? Yeah. Nobody actually believes
that he
did.
And what happened to those files?
What happened to the files?
I mean, we were promised to report. That was kind of Pam Bondi's first little misstep.
It wasn't a
catastrophic blunder, but she basically said that the files are about to be released, and it turned out to be everything we already knew.
That was a mistake.
We need to go over that. So plus
one,
this.
One thing Bongino says later in this interview is that they do have video footage. He said that, yes, Epstein killed himself. And we all, you know, we hear that. When the last administration told us that, we didn't believe it. But I do believe Dan Bongino said there is a camera of outside the cell. He was the only person in that cell. And there was only one way that this could have happened, and he did it to himself.
I thought it was Hilaria Clintonini or something.
I think I know who you're talking about. I will continue to say it's her, even though it's probably not her. Because I do trust Dan Bongino. He said that he did kill himself. The circumstantial evidence where, you know, the cameras went down and the guards weren't posted when they should have been, that makes us all very, very suspicious. But now that we're hearing it out of Dan Bongino's mouth himself, I feel a bit more confident. He went on in this interview, the January 6th pipe bombers. There's still really nothing that we know of this other than there was a video released. You can't really make out barely any of the footage. The guy walking away from the camera places the bags next to a bench and walks away. We want to get to the bottom of this. He had an update on that as well.
So the moment Cash and I swore in, we realized that the first thing we had to do is rebuild public trust. This is your FBI. It's not mine. I tell the employees every day, you don't own it. You don't own it. I don't own it. It's like being the center fielder for the Yankees. That'll live with you forever, but you don't own the Yankees. It's a proud franchise. The place has taken a reputational hit. There is zero question about it. There were a lot of bad actors. One of them still out there causing us all kinds of trouble. So we had to fix it and rebuild public trust. One of the ways to do it is these cases of significant public interest that matter. You know, we had two pipe bombs planted on January 6th. I mean, we were told by partisan actors out there this was the insurrection, the world was going to fall apart, and no one seemed to show any interest in this case. The second we got in, I put a team on it, and I said, I want answers on this. And I'm pretty confident that we're closing in on some suspects. The reason, by the way, I use social media with these cases, I'm trying to communicate on social media, is nothing's by accident, guys. I do nothing by accident.
So closing in on some suspects. That's the key takeaway from that. Closing in on some suspects. We are owed some answers to that. That's for darn sure. couple of other things. Let's pivot a little bit. The AutoPen investigation is getting more interesting, I would say. James Comer, the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, he was on Jesse Waters just this past week, and he basically said, you know, if you aren't aware of what you're signing, there's legal implications to this. It makes everything null and void. And we've covered this on the show before. Yeah. He says they're opening investigations and maybe subpoenaing some individuals to talk to Congress, whether it be behind closed doors. I would love to see a public hearing with, I don't know, Lady Macbeth.
Yeah.
Corinne Jean Grey Poupon.
Grey Poupon.
Corinne Jean-Pierre, Hunter Biden.
Liz Warren.
Liz Warren.
Apparently, she was like the one controlling it, supposedly.
Yeah, there's a lot of interest in who this person was.
I think everybody was controlling it, to be honest. It sounds like everybody had their fucking hand in the cookie jar.
Except for Joe Biden. The vegetable president. Yeah, so here's
president
Comer on Jesse Waters just this week.
No, they just talked to Joe Biden, and he was tip-top. He was in great physical condition. He was at the top of his game. Now they're coming back covering the track saying, yeah, it looks like he was in mental decline. Well, we all know he's in mental decline. What we need to know is who was calling the shots at the White House. And one thing that was also mentioned on your show thus far is that when you sign a document that has legal implications, it has to be signed personally. It can't be signed by an auto pen. You use auto pen for proclamations and mass letters and things like that. So I think that if we can understand more about the auto pen and whether or not Joe Biden authorized it, I think this could lead to a lot of those executive orders being kicked out in court.
All right. And when do you expect these subpoenas to go out?
Well, the letters have already gone out to the staffers as well as Dr. O'Connor. So if we don't hear anything from them in a week, then I would expect to start seeing subpoenas.
And if they fight the subpoena, what do you do?
We'll go to court. Jesse, they're going to try to plead executive privilege, and they're lawyering up, and we're ready. That's why we're making sure every I's dotted and every T's crossed.
So I can't wait to
showdown.
See that.
Showdown.
I cannot wait to see that. And according to James Rosen, great White House reporter for Newsmax, he tweeted today that his sources are saying Dr. Kevin O'Connor, the personal physician, who had tested annually to the fitness and especially the mental acuity for Joe Biden, has contacted GOP oversight, that's James Comer's group, through an attorney to discuss a transcribed interview ahead of today's close of business deadline and under the threat of subpoena. Ooh. So maybe Kevin O'Connor's feeling a little heat right now. Lots of reports that he was corrupt himself, involved in Joe Biden and Hunter Biden's business deals in Ukraine. He maybe wants to get ahead of this, cooperate with GOP oversight before that subpoena comes and before possibly even arrest. So let's see how that goes. Definitely cannot wait to see how it all plays out. Power of the Future, the great group organized by Daniel Turner. His group is he's calling for legal action. He wants all these executive orders from Joe Biden's on the environment to be null and void. And you remember It was just, what, months ago that Mike Johnson, remember, he said that when he spoke to President Joe Biden, he was unaware of that executive order he had stopping LNG exports. He said, I spoke to the president. He said, I didn't sign that. And he's like, no, actually, you did.
Yeah.
Why did you pause LNG exports to Europe? Like, I don't understand, you know, liquefied natural gas is in great demand by our allies. Why would you do that? Because you understand, we just talked about Ukraine. You understand you're fueling Vladimir Putin's war machine because they got to get their gas from ZPM, you know. And he looks at me, stunned, with his, and he said, I didn't do that. And I said, Mr. President, yes, you did. It was an executive order, like, you know, 3 weeks ago. He goes, no, I didn't do that. He's arguing with me. I said, Mr. President, respectfully, could I go out here and ask your secretary to print it out? We'll read it together. You definitely did that. And he goes, oh, you talk about natural gas. Yes, sir. He said, you misunderstand. He said, what I did is I signed this thing to, we're gonna conduct a study on the effects of LNG. I said, no, you're not, sir. You paused it.
So, oh, God.
Clearest example, he had no idea what the hell he was doing. Yeah. So will these executive orders be null and void? Probably not, but yeah. I want to see it play out. I mean, we are owed answered on this, right?
Yeah, that's for sure.
So who was running the White House? Let's see. We got
Bob Baer,
Anita Dunn,
Ron Klain.
Those were according to Ed Martin.
Yeah.
And now a new guy, David Hogg, you know, the DNC vice chair. He sat down with somebody.
Well, he might be out of a job soon.
He's just too white. Yeah, just way too white.
He took it away from that Native American,
trans Native American, queer, whatever minority boxes you can check.
My heart at wounded knee.
Yeah. So he sat down with some dude from Project Veritas, and they were wearing an undercover camera. He was talking to a guy at the David Hogg. Oh, I'm sorry. The reporter was talking to David Hogg about Jill Biden's chief of staff named Anthony Bernal. And apparently Anthony Bernal was pulling a lot of the triggers at the White House with all these auto pen and executive orders as well. Hear how that conversation goes. The voice you hear is David Hogg.
The question for me is, like, how corrupt is the DNC if so many people knew, or few people knew about Biden?
Well, the president of the United States.
I mean, just the fact of the matter is the DNC is always going to be like a campaign arm of the president, ultimately. The bigger issue was like the inner circle that was around Biden. That's it.
And I can't stress to you enough.
Like, Jill Biden's chief of staff, like, had an enormous amount of power.
Jill Biden?
Jill Biden's chief of staff.
That was like an open secret. Like, I would avoid him. Like, he was scary.
What was his name?
Anthony Trump.
So, yeah, Lady Macbeth is running Oval Office and cabinet meetings. She's hiring the director of the Secret Service, and apparently her chief of staff, obviously directed by Jill Biden, is offering, you know, the auto pen and these executive orders and really making things happen behind the scenes. Pretty crazy,
bribes,
if you ask me.
Bribes.
Yeah, bribes, 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 bribes. So we'll see how that plays out. Yeah. I'm very interested in that. What else is going on this week? Marco Rubio announced yesterday that they are yanking student visas for Chinese nationals.
You mean the spy purge?
The spy purge is happening.
Is happening.
So he tweeted yesterday, he said, the U.S. will begin revoking visas of Chinese nationals. I'm sorry, I misspoke. Let me restart that again. He said, quote, the U.S. will begin revoking visas of Chinese students, including those with connections to the Chinese Communist Party or studying in critical fields. What do you think about that? Clean house at Harvard?
Yes, absolutely. Trisha McLaughlin at the DHS, she also commented on this, and she said that last year there were 233,000 Chinese student visas issued.
Yeah.
They only allowed 800 Americans in, on their end. Wake up.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
So, I think it was 233. It was over 100,000.
I'm actually seeing right now 277,000. So even more.
Wow, I was off.
From China enrolled in the U.S. higher education institutions. That's according to the Institute of International Education's Open Doors 2024 report.
Yeah. Again, they're stealing our shit. If not spying on us, they're stealing our shit. You know, we all know that they're horrible intellectual property. It's long overdue. This is a good purge. I love the, if you're part, if you're a member of the Communist Party or studying in bioengineering, you gotta go.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's time. And it's definitely another way for the Trump administration to kind of bring the Chinese to the negotiating table on the trade deals. So.
Right. Right. If you want to spy on us, you're gonna have to pay
exactly.
for it.
Which might be, it might be the only thing. It might be the only thing left because, you know, we have no tariffs now. The tariff powers.
Yeah,
have
that been went stripped, down yesterday.
Have been stripped of Donald Trump.
So, yesterday, the big breaking news in the evening, a panel of federal judges, this was Wednesday, blocked Trump's tariffs. He blocked him from imposing some of his steepest tariffs on China and other U.S. trading partners, finding that federal law did not grant him unbounded authority. That's what they quoted in their piece, to tax imports from nearly every country around the world. The ruling was instituted by the U.S. Court of International Trade, delivered an early yet significant setback to Trump's agenda, undercutting his primary leverage as he looks to pressure other nations into striking trade deals more beneficial to the United States. So Trump's big economic plan has a bit of a roadblock, but he has ways around these, it seems. The stock markets, when they heard this news initially, it jumped up almost 500 points. Today, it's down a little bit. It's fluctuating around even. But basically, what that means to me is nobody knows where this is going to land yet, because Trump just doesn't take the L on these kind of things. He's going to find other ways of doing
it. He's going to appeal.
And CNBC has a great piece today about ways that Trump can kind of avoid this ruling and other ways to enact his agenda. There's other ways of trading, and it's not just blanket tariffs that he needs to place on countries. If he places tariffs on individual products like steel or textiles or things like that, there's ways about going around this. It'd be a much bigger, more complicated deal. We'll see how he can get that done. He can also take this all the way to the Supreme Court, who may have a say to say, no, actually, he is allowed to do these type of things. And it's a big deal. His not entirely, but most of his economic agenda really does revolve around tariffs, new trade deals, and bringing all these countries to the table.
Yes.
So we hope he can work around a lot of those. Stephen Miller tweeted yesterday, he said, the judicial coup is out of control.
Yeah.
The White House deputy press secretary named Kush Desai wrote a statement and said, it is not for unelected judges to decide how to properly address a national emergency. Foreign countries' non-reciprocal treatment of the United States has fueled America's historic and persistent trade deficits. So lots to be determined there. And like I said, with the stock market staying about even, this is far from over. Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful, he was on CNN last night, and he just actually took it to the, well, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One other is conservative. So he's on a panel with four other liberals, and he just took it to him. Take a listen.
Well, here's the question. What percentage of job loss is fine and okay when the President of the United States
All right, enough. Give Kevin O'Leary the floor.
Let me ask a question.
We're full employment.
Is it claiming that there have been absolutely no jobs lost because of the disruptions created by the tariffs?
Have you not looked at the unemployment numbers?
You better read the numbers. No, I'm asking a question.
We're almost at full employment. We're almost at full. What are you talking about?
So they're just arguing, you know, we can even hear each other. They're talking over each other. But the libs on the panel keep saying that there's so many jobs lost. And Kevin's like, no, what are you talking about? We're at full employment.
Also, he said that the United States remains the mecca of investment capital. Still, it's over 50%. Trillions have been invested in the United States under Trump. And then Happy Phillips like, Kevin, I think you're making a good argument. And he interrupts her saying, yeah, because I'm right.
I love that. I'm going to start using that.
American brand. We are a laughingstock. We're a laughingstock in Europe, a laughingstock in Asia. If you're inside the Trump bubble and you're on Twitter with all the bros, it hits hard. It's really
good. It's not what the numbers say. The number one destination for invested capital on Earth is still over 50% in America. tonight. Tonight, right now. I don't know what you're talking about, a laughing stock.
So the money pours in, trillions of dollars,
comes to America.
Kevin.
Why? Best place to invest on Earth.
I think, Kevin, you're making a great argument for why.
Because I'm right.
That was Jennifer Welch, by the way, the laughing stock lady. She's the Bravo star that was all about the trans stuff.
Remember she bitched out
Rahm Emanuel on her podcast?
Oh yeah, we played that on here.
Yeah, that's her.
Oh, she's insufferable.
Then she's like, you hear her under, you know, as Kevin is, you know, just bulldozing her. She's like, I think that's incorrect or something. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Like, I think the economy's not right. I'm like,
we're the laughing stock.
Like, stop. Like, you just made that point and whatever. Yeah. This is why.
She's insufferable. I forgot about that clip. Yeah. She was attacking him because, basically, what do you mean a man can't become a woman? How dare you? Yeah. Fuck you.
Rahm Emanuel was right. He was saying that the Democrats need to stop talking about the trans stuff. And then she was like, well, that's the Republicans we're talking about all the time. Like, not really. It's kind of thrown down our throats. It's become a mainstream issue now because also the normies, don't want to see...
Lacking mental dudes
in women's sports.
Yeah.
It's taking away scholarship opportunities and stuff like that. Like, it's become a problem. Yeah. And, I mean, we all saw this coming. It's unfair. It's also, like, enabling mental illness and
of course.
Just fantasy thinking that, you know, whatever. But you all know the deal. Yeah. But, yeah. It's now become a 70-20 issue, or 70-30, 80-20 issue, I should say.
Which is way too low. It should be 100-0, but even 99-1 is too low.
It's ridiculous. But yeah, no, like it's not. This is, again, she's a typical Bravo liberal, you know.
I have this
person, so I mean, you take it what it is, but.
I have this shop. I do a little personal thing. The No Woke Zone with my boat and with a flag and all that kind of stuff. I added this to the shop. It's NoWokeZoneShop.com. NoWokeZoneShop.com. There's a shirt that says trans women are men. And it's in the purple and blue colors. And I'm going to be rocking that most days when I go to the farmer's market in Arlington and piss off as many people as possible. Which, by the way, about the boat, the big flag, Vespa's been out there.
Yeah.
You may have seen it. It says, it's a big giant face of Tom Holman, and it says Ice Ice Baby on it.
You're talking about the flag that almost got us marooned?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and in our town hall Navy.
Yeah, the town hall Navy.
I have a buddy who works in the White House, and he texted me today. He said, I just showed Tom Holman a picture of your flag.
Yeah.
And nice. I was like, oh, my God. He said, quote, holy shit, I love it. So that made my day. And he asked where I got it from and all that kind of stuff. So I told him, you better invite him out on the boat one of these days. We'd have a really good time.
Well, he's too busy alien hunting.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. I think he totally would.
I think
he's alien hunting.
Well, it's funny. I met him.
Maybe we can alien hunt on the Potomac. You know, there's tons of them on the Potomac.
Well, I'm actually going for a ride along with a police officer on the Potomac in 2 weeks. We've become friends with him because he likes the flag. He pulls me over every week just to talk politics. I told him, yes, I can't wait to do this, but can we please deport somebody? Like I really want to deport somebody. He has no authority whatsoever to do that, but I'm still hoping that we deport somebody.
Yet.
He should. These guys should have that kind of.
There's gonna be a lot of. Well, we talked about this before. What was mentioned before? I think isn't there an old statute that allows states to have deportation powers if they sign that agreement under the DHS? Remember that?
I do because it was a big issue in Texas.
Because all federal law enforcement agencies do have deportation authority now. Mm-hmm. So I think
Florida may have been testing the waters.
Is the thing. I mean, everyone was saying, "Well, that's not going to it's not going to pass the blue states, but for the 38 or so red states, absolutely, those governors will sign that agreement with the DHS
to
give their local law enforcement deportation authority.
Yep.
So
keep them safe, keep them red.
Again, a lot has happened. I understand that. We'll circle back, Saki.
What else is going on? Elon Musk is set to leave Doge in the Trump administration. He took to X yesterday. He said, as my scheduled time as special government employee comes to an end, I would like to thank President Trump for the opportunity to reduce wasteful spending. The Doge mission will only strengthen over time as it becomes a way of life throughout the government. So goodbye and thank you, Elon Musk. He put this country above all by endorsing buying Twitter.
Kind of a bittersweet.
Yeah,
they didn't codify the cuts in the BBB.
Yeah,
which is like, honestly, I think he feels like he wasted his time.
It is hurtful.
I think he did. I think he feels that way.
And he already said he's not going to get invested in other elections moving forward. So that's millions of dollars to Republicans that we will no longer have. We kind of let him down. The Senate does have the ability to make some revisions next week in the One Big Beautiful Bill. And Russ Vogt was talking about rescissions packages. Coming as early as next Monday. So they're going to try to codify some of this, but it's a little bit too late, a little bit too small, certainly to please the Republican base. So thank you, Elon Musk. And we'll leave with one more audio bit right here. The left is trying to make taco a thing. Have you heard this yet, Vespa? Taco.
Taco.
Trump always chickens out. T-A-C-O. It's this super online phenomenon, and they're saying...
Is it like, what's it called? Brat? Is it the new brat?
Yeah, I guess. Oh, that's so taco.
Yeah, that's so taco, brat. Ro kind of tried Blue MAGA.
Yeah.
Dark Brandon.
Dark woke.
Dark woke. Like, all this shit that does not work.
You see they're spending, what, $20 million to try to learn how to understand young men so they can recruit them better.
It's like trans people leading the charge on that.
Yeah, and they get that super fat abortion activist from Texas.
Oh,
did you see her? She's like, oh, I love young men.
Yeah.
Young men. They're talking about how young men love abortion, gay marriage, and hooking up or something like that. And we really need to understand that. First of all, that is so demeaning to young men because they're much more than that. But that's how they think they can recruit them.
It's all about the abortion shit. Yeah. They're all obsessed about the killing of the babies part. And it's good luck. But
it's kind of creepy for men to be obsessed with that. And fathers to want to kill their grandchildren. It's just all kind of sick.
Taco. That sounds like something that Eric Swalwell would come up with.
Yeah, farting, you know? Fang Fang Swalwell. Yeah. So Taco, Trump always chickens out.
He must be devastated that all of his Chinese whores are being
deported. Yeah. He won't be hanging around the dorms at Harvard anytime
soon.
Can't
go that. He's got the yellow fever now.
Poor Swalwell. So a reporter in the Oval Office yesterday asked Trump about taco. Again, it's very online. I had to look it up after the reporter said it because it's about the tariffs. And he always comes back. He always makes these big threats. But then he chickens out and he comes out to some kind of trade agreement, which is better than the original agreement.
That's also the plan.
That's the plan.
It's a negotiating tactic.
According to them, it's so taco. So here's how Trump responded to that reporter's stupid question.
And Wall Street analysts have coined a new term called the taco trade. They're saying Trump always chickens out on your tariff threats, and that's why Trump gets hired this week. What's your response to that?
I kick out?
Chicken out.
Oh, isn't that not a chicken out? I've never heard that. You mean because I reduced China from 145% that I set down to 100 and then down to another number? And I said you have to open up your whole country, and because I gave the European Union a 50% tax tariff.
Anyway, he goes on about his tariffs, but it's not going to be a thing. Taco is not going to be a thing.
No, it's
not. And the only response Trump should have had to that question was this.
What a stupid question that is. What a stupid question. But I watch you a lot. You ask a lot of stupid questions.
I have that saved on my phone.
Yeah, let's do it.
When anybody ever's like, hey, you want to play poker tonight? Or, hey, you in for this this golf match? I just respond with that. What a stupid question. What a stupid question. All right. Well, Vespa, should we do this again next week?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Awesome. Well, thank you for tuning in to episode 560 of Triggered. If you have any comments, email us at triggered@townhall.com. If you enjoy Triggered and want it uncensored, become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. Use the promo code FIGHT for 60% off your membership in this exclusive club of patriots. You will not only be directing funding here to us at Triggered and get access to Triggered Uncensored, which is also ad-free, but you'll get all other VIP members-only content like Vespa's VIP columns, Kurt Schlichter's VIP columns, Katie Pavlich's columns. The list goes on and on and on. Please help us fight the people destroying our country. Thank you all to those who are already VIP members. It means the world to us. And those who aren't yet, we love you still. Don't forget, 5-star ratings and reviews go a long way in helping us beat the big tech algorithm. We'll see you next week. For me and Vespa, talk to you soon.
See you then.